Everybody's got injuries. Everybody's got to deal with all kinds of crap. Seattle's got a bunch of injuries on the offensive line. They traded away Percy Harvin. You know, everybody's got all kinds of issues, my brother. It's finding a way to overcome that with coaching and get there. Now, look, you're talking to the guy that doesn't really believe they're going to make to the playoffs anyways. As much as I would love to see it there, I kind of don't – I don't expect them to win this week or next week, actually, to be honest with you. So I think they're going to get knocked out of the playoffs. So well, if you're even – if you're asking me whether they were healthy or not, I still don't think they make the playoffs.
I do notice a little bit more confidence in these guys, something that you haven't seen in the past year. So I think they might actually snip the playoffs this year. I don't know if they'll make it out of the first round. I believe that they'll make it. But one of the things I was also listening to their radio show earlier was they do have a lot of athletes on the team. They do have a lot more depth in certain positions. So this upcoming draft, they have options to take in the first round. So one thing I think that would help Tannehill with his deep ball frustration is getting a big physical receiver that has a wider catch radius so he doesn't have to be as accurate. Do you see that being something that they could go forward to?
Yeah, that would be nice.
You were calling for that last year.
Yeah, exactly. We were calling for that last year, and I still think for a guy. But, yeah, I mean, so you try to continue to design an offense around a guy that is limited? Is that the way you build? I'm sorry.
I don't like that.
No, neither do I. Oh, no, let's find a way to make life easier for our limited quarterback. Look, man, I'm not into running my head into the wall with Alex Smith Part 2. See, if I was doing Kansas City radio, okay, every day on the air, I'd be telling all these Kansas City nuts, doesn't matter, bro. They got Alex Smith. You're going nowhere. You can enjoy your little 20-yard box. Andy Reid is smart enough to milk as much as he can out of it. He's smart enough to have Jamal Charles, who can get yak for you, Travis Kelce, who could get yak for you. But overall, a quarterback that can't even get the ball to his wide receivers downfield sounds like the guy we have here. The only reason we get the ball to wide receivers here is because they do crossing routes and bubble screens and crap like that within the first 5-10 yards.
Is Dwayne Bowe still without a touchdown this season, or did he finally get one?
No receiver has a touchdown, I think, in Kansas City the entire year. No receiver. Only tight ends and running backs have the touchdowns in Kansas City. I mean, that's all you need to know. How do you have I didn't even understand why they re-signed Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe is a downfield wide receiver. So if you don't have a quarterback that can get you the ball, you know, they'd hate me in Kansas City because I'd be like telling them every year, you got nothing. Don't matter. I don't care how good the defense is. I don't care how Jamal Charles is. That quarterback there is going to stop you from going anywhere. And he's proven it every year. Every year he's proven it that he is their Tannehill. The Raiders have a new coach?
No, the Gators.
Oh, the Gators. Oh,
McElwain is.
Oh, the Colorado State?
Out. Yeah.
There it is. McElwain to coach the Gators. All right, there you go. That made sense. The guy wanted to leave. You got to let him go. Man, he had a $7.5 million buyout.
At Colorado State?
At Colorado State.
Wow.
Because he had a 10-year contract. He had a $7.5 million buyout.
10-year contract.
Yeah. 10-year contract, $7.5 million buyout. The Gators are definitely not the Canes. All right, welcome back, folks. Big O with you. We take you, of course, till 1 o'clock. Coop and Crowder will take over then. By the way, the Big O Show is proudly brought to you by Cuban Guys. We love talking about Cuban Guys because their food is absolutely delicious. You know, we have our Frito Friday here every Friday. That already brings a smile to Caroline's face. She always loves that. And besides that, of course, with Cuban Guys, you got a menu that is amazing. So if you've got 30 minutes and $10, you are going to love this amazing concept, folks. And by the way, they've got great specials Monday through Wednesday. Monday, the $3 steak sandwich, $4 to close. Tuesday, the $2 Cuban Frito, $4 to close. Wednesday, the $4 Cuban steak bowl, $4 to close. And remember, when you go out to the Dolphins game this weekend against the Ravens, you can go to Section 425 and enjoy a little Cuban Guys. And we've got three great locations down in Hialeah. Got a second location, by the way, opening up in Hialeah very soon at Westland Mall. We'll give you the heads up on that. We've got another one in Kendall by my house, Sunset and 107th, and another one in North Miami Beach right by the station. How convenient is that, right? Wherever I'm at, I've got a Cuban Guys close to me. I love it, folks. I'm telling you, you can follow them on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Cuban Guys. And you got to try the chicken sandwich, the pork sandwich with the slow roasted pork. It is so delicious. And those Cuban bowls, they are the bomb. People are buying Cuban bowls left and right. Starts with the bed of white rice, the black beans, the chopped sweet plantains, their famous crispy string fries. And then you get to top it off with the pork chunks, the steak, the chicken, the pulled pork, the frita patty, the chorizo. It's one of the favorites in this place, man. Brandon loves his steak bowl or the pork bowl. Andy King, our program director, he loves the Cuban bowl also. Great sides like the yuca fries. They've got the drinks, the Coke, Materva, Jupina, Heineken, Corona, milkshakes, fruit juices, Materva. They've got it all for you, baby. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Cuban Guys, or check out that delicious menu at www.cubanguys.net. All right. Let's see what else. We got to tell the folks about the guests. We've got coming up. We've got Ira Winderman at 10:40. We've got Matt Porter talking a little Canes football at 11, and maybe Canes basketball. Now we've got to add Canes basketball to all of this, not just also Canes football, because Canes football is depressing. Canes basketball is exhilarating. Sean Salisbury will join us at 12, and Kadri Ismail, my boy, my man, he is going to join us at 12:20. Love Kadri, man. What a classy, classy guy. So we get to talk a little Ravens and Dolphins with him as we got that big, big game on Sunday. Right now, we're going to do a little Caroline's Headlines.
It's time for Caroline's Headlines.
Good morning.
Good morning, Caroline. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Happy that I'm here at work. I spent about, I don't know, let's say an hour and 20 minutes in traffic today. It was fantastic. It was.
And thank you for the heads up, by the way. I appreciate you calling me and telling me about the traffic jam.
I know. But you think ahead and you get yourself out of that situation even before you're in it. So,
yes.
Unfortunately, I am not that way.
Being a veteran of the road, driving so many years, you try to find ways around traffic. But even that, sometimes you still can't dodge it. It's crazy.
I'm a newbie to Kendall, so I don't really know my way around.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to teach you the tricks of the trade.
Yes, you do.
All right. So what's our first headline?
Well, Brian Hoyer is to remain starter over Johnny Manziel. According to reports, the decision was a no-brainer, and that Hoyer has widespread support in the Browns locker room. But according to the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James, Manziel is ready. They've had private personal conversations, and he's ready to be the starting quarterback, he says. And talking about the king of Cleveland, the city is trying to host the 2018 NBA All-Star Game, and, well, LeBron James doesn't want it, says it would be too much for him. Too much. It's just too much for the king.
It's all about him. Remember that. Wanted the max deal. He wanted Kevin Love.
The
he got Kevin Love. He wanted to get rid of all the young players. And then he didn't want to promise a championship. He didn't want to promise not one. He didn't want to promise not two, not three, not four.
Not none.
So, yeah. So now he doesn't want the All-Star game. First of all, who the hell wants to go to Cleveland?
Not me.
I mean, listen, unless I want to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or the two amusement parks, Kings Island and Cedar Point, which that's the only thing. The only things that Ohio has are the two best amusement parks in the country and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Outside of that.
You take that back because you know that Disney World is the best.
No.
You take that back
it's
right now.
Two different types of things. Now, Disney is the best for a family-oriented fun.
We have Universal Studios and
but if you're
Islands of Adventure.
If you're a roller coaster nut, trust me, it's not even close.
Well, I'm not going to Ohio, okay?
Okay, because they've got like, I want to say Cedar Point might have somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 roller coasters.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, and then Kings Island is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 or 15. I'm telling you, it is roller coaster heaven. You guys never been there, huh?
No.
Do you like coasters?
Not a big roller coaster.
Okay, so then forget about it. You love coasters?
I am. I'm terrified of heights, but I love roller coasters.
Then I'm telling you, you got to put it on your bucket list. And the only reason to go to Ohio is for those two amusement parks and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Seriously. Those two amusement parks are worth the trip.
I'll go for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but not a big coaster guy, I guess.
Okay. All right. So headline numero dos.
All right, guys. If you could think about maybe the top three celebrities who you wouldn't want as neighbors? Who would you put up there?
Justin Bieber is definitely one of them because I would have to. I would end up killing him, and then I end up in jail. Chris Brown is the other. Okay, and Kanye West.
All right. Well, you know what?
Three like really annoying people.
The residents of a Beverly Hills condo will be having quite the party because Justin Bieber just moved out.
Yeah!
If you guys don't remember, he's been terrorizing the place since he's moved in. On June 24th, cops were called in because of noise complaints, and that was just days after he moved in.
That's that big condo he moved into,
uh-huh,
right?
Yeah.
You know who lives there, too, right? What's the woman's name that does all the home stuff, and she's famous, and she went to jail and everything? What's her name?
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart has a two-floor condo there, okay? Two floors.
Nobody.
All right? And so I'm sure she's part of, like, I don't want that garbage here. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I'm just giving you examples.
I know way too much, bro. I just know way too much.
Yeah, see, I would have never known that.
Yeah.
It's okay, Big O.
That's my fault for watching OK TV and TMZ and all those other places. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, just like I said, days after he, you know, moved in, cops were sent in. July 3rd, cops were sent in again. July 21st, cops were called six times to the building.
Damn, Martha
July
Stewart's
been 29th,
busy.
Cops showed up again. Like, they're just happy. There were letters sent around to all the residents saying, we are going to have a party.
They didn't want him in Calabasas. They got rid of him there. Okay? Keyshawn even, like, had it out with him at Calabasas. And now this.
Why doesn't he have his own little house in a, you know,
just like a ranch
place?
Yeah.
And that's it. Just don't bother nobody.
Yeah,
and
like,
you can go and drive your cars around as fast as you want.
There you go. Michael Vick got away with killing dogs like that in a nice isolated place for a while. I'm sorry. Headline number three.
I don't like that guy. All right. Look, guys, there's nothing wrong with wanting to hang out at a strip club, right?
Hell no.
No. Well.
Hang out wherever there's bootay.
Or headlines. Or
headlines.
Or,
yes.
Yes.
Headlights. Headlines.
A homeless man in Detroit was really determined to get to one.
Fun sex?
Yes, for that reason. But
knockers,
unfortunately, when you're homeless,
boobies,
you can't get to those things as easily because what don't you have?
Vehicle?
A vehicle.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought a way to make it rain would have been the right answer.
You don't have a jugs machine?
So what does this man do?
What does he have? What does he do?
He solves the problem by stealing an ambulance that was parked outside of a hospital, and that's how he tries to get to the strip club. Now,
hold on a second. You get there faster.
You do.
Turn on the lights
and everything.
That's it. Cops stop you. Like, dude, I'm headed to Tootsie's. Leave me alone, bro. Come on.
Cars moved out of the way and everything for this guy just so he could see some headlights and some bootay. Yes, but he didn't make it there. He was stopped.
What was inside that van? Was it Mama Jugs and Speed? I lost both of these young people on that one.
Yeah,
all right,
yes,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Did.
Older people like myself are going, nice one. Oh, but young people are going, what the hell is that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The alleged rapist, Bill Cosby. What's it called?
I've heard you make this reference before.
God, what's her name? Margaret, the redhead. The old classic redhead. What's her name, dude? That she's like super, super fine. Somebody help me out on the text machine. Who's on Mama Jugs and Speed?
Jessica Rabbit?
I am DB it. No. It's like way before. Raquel Welch, I think it is. I think it's Raquel Welch in Mama Jugs and Speed. That's why it's called Mama Jugs and Speed. That's why. So you can figure out who is Mama. All right, go ahead.
Well, like I said, he didn't make it there. He was arrested even before he could go and see what he wanted. And that's it.
Okay.
That's it for my dumb crime story.
I appreciate it. I love that kind of crime story.
I mean, if you want to steal a car, you steal a normal car.
No,
you don't steal something with sirens and something that obviously
people
are going
to
know
is
missing.
If I'm headed to the strip club, I'm stealing something with sirens. I want to get there quickly.
Yeah, but I want to
squeeze in
enough.
As many lap dances as I can. We're a short time on this earth. We need as much friction as possible. So I don't blame him. By the way, did you IMDb it? Who is it?
It was Raquel Welsh.
It is
and
Raquel
Harvey
Welsh.
Keitel. I don't know if I'm
Keitel.
Keitel. Yeah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing. You could tell I've
you,
never
You don't
heard
know
of.
Who Harvey Keitel is?
I'd have to look at a picture.
Keitel. You definitely know who Harvey Keitel is, dude. Are you freaking kidding me? You know how many movies you've seen Harvey Keitel in? He was really young in those days.
Yeah, he's what I recognize him from is National Treasure, the FBI, like the
Reservoir Dogs, the Bad Lieutenant.
He kind of looks like he could be Phil Collins' brother.
He's, you know, come on, man. Harvey Keitel is.
I don't recognize him.
Yeah, you have. I'm sure you've seen Harvey Keitel somewhere, man. You just don't realize it.
Maybe.
All right, let's take a quick break. Remember, at 10:40, next segment, we talk a little Heat basketball with Ira Winderman. Next. I love how, you know, people like mix the two languages up. And since I'm Hispanic, and when I said that they kicked Bieber out or they didn't want him in Calabasas, some guy goes, coño, big O, pronounce it calabaza, please. Dude, it's not called calabaza. It's called Calabasas. That's what it's called in California. It's not called calabaza. I would have said calabaza if it was called that.
And for the record, my vote would be for him to just go back to Canada.
Yes, please. Remember they had that petition to kick him out of the country.
Did they really?
Yes.
Oh, God. Well,
yes.
I know you know these things.
Yes, yeah, they but... actually had a petition to kick Bieber out of the country, and I signed it. All right, time to go and talk a little basketball.
Of course you did.
With my man Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Ira, man, that reference when I said Mother Jugs and Speed, my two producers are looking at me like the RCA dog. You know how they tilt their head?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's I probably lost about what, 85% of my audience.
You know, and even if you mentioned the name Raquel Welch, people would go, "Who?
Yes.
Why? Huh?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly." Google one of the most perfect women in the entire face of the earth.
I know her. I don't know the movie.
Yeah. If you don't know Raquel Welch, you don't know who she is either, Caroline?
I have no clue.
You need to Google Raquel Welch.
Well,
it might have been the first mix of plastic and beauty. I think it's where it all started.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right. I mean, between her and Elizabeth Taylor, yeah, you're probably right. It's somewhere right around there. By the way, yesterday was just ugly, man. They really did not do a good job of taking care of the basketball. The passes were, I don't know, I don't know if lazy is the right word, but it's not, I don't think they really respected the Atlanta defense, and Atlanta did a great job again in the passing lanes and disrupting a lot of what they were trying to do.
You know, I think, and someone asked me this question this morning about this team and the effort, and I just actually posted an Ask Ira answer. I'm going to post actually tomorrow online. I think it's two factors at play, O. I think there's a factor of the returning veterans knew last 4 years, when the going got tough, there was always LeBron to come through and save their butts. So Dwayne could jog back on defense, Chris Bosh can be outrun to the basket by Al Horford, but in the end, LeBron will save the day. So that's what the veterans think. I think for the young players, with the 3-0 start to the season, the fact they've been above 500 or at 500 now the entire season, I think they thought the NBA was sort of kind of easy, that you could have a winning record, you know, and not have to exert too much. I think right now, both the veterans and the newcomers are facing the stark reality. They all have to be better because this is not easy and will be difficult. And you know what? Right now, they are half a game away from being the number 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. And I know it's early, but we're also at the quarter pole. And that could be this team's reality unless they play harder with more effort and with more efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, and they have. And listen, yesterday, your big two were fantastic. Wade had 28 points. Bosh had 27. Wade also had 7 assists in that game. Bosh had 11 rebounds. Even Rio added 19. But when I look at that game, I also look, and I have to be completely honest here, Atlanta's just better.
Well, and if that's the case, then that's a real concern. That if you already have Cleveland, Chicago will eventually emerge as the top two. I think you'd agree with that. I think we'd agree that Washington and Toronto for depth of talent look like a next two.
Yep.
So if Atlanta is 5, and you want to avoid the Bulls and, of course, LeBron in the first round and get that number 6 seed, the Heat got some work to do, including against a Bucks team that is playing well, who they play Friday in Milwaukee. Then they got the tough 4 games going out, you know, Western Conference road games for the first time this season. But all of a sudden, I think the reality is hitting home in South Florida. You know, we kidded early in the year
how the Heat would be the only playoff team in town. Now the Dolphins have surprised us. The Panthers have played competitive. And I now think the Heat, honestly, coming into this trip, this is their moment of truth. And I'll be very curious to see how, with Luol Deng injured, the complementary players, the supporting cast can step up, or if there's simply not enough in support.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, the injuries don't stop, Ira. That's the other thing that's stopping them from kind of building that into the chemistry that they need, the rotation that Spo wants. It's hard to count on doing something on a consistent basis when you don't have a full roster to work with every time.
Unless you have enough quality depth. And I like what Dwayne and Eric said. Every team goes through this. I mean, you look at Washington and their good record. They were without Bradley Beal to start the season. Nene has this ongoing plantar fasciitis. Look at the Bulls. Derrick Rose, you don't know from minute to minute if he's going to be there. They still have a quality record. Look at the Raptors. Even with DeMar DeRozan going out, they've stayed afloat.
Yeah, Terrence Ross.
So Terrence Ross steps up, their depth step up. So can Danny Granger play? Can Josh McRoberts work with the starting lineup? Can James Ennis be an NBA player? Can Shabazz Napier keep an offensive player in front of him and not let him get into the lane? That's what you have to see. The good teams have the depth to make up for these moments. Honestly, it happens to everyone. And really, except for Cleveland, and they did lose Matthew Dellavedova for a while, it's even happened to the Cavs. It's NBA life. No one is feeling sorry for the fact that it looks like Luol Deng is going to miss some time now.
And for those that don't follow the NBA like you and I do, and they follow the Heat, and there's a lot of people that are like that they just follow their local team.
Right.
Friday's game is not easy. They already lost to this team. People, yes. I think Milwaukee is slowly but surely getting respect around the league because Brandon Knight has turned into a legit player. Jabari Parker is a hell of a rookie. Giannis, whatever, Antetokounmpo, whatever. He's really right now, he's a poor man's, what's it called? The guy from Portland. What's his name? Damn it.
Right? Nicholas Batum?
But yeah, he's like Batum. Right. He brings that game, and he's actually longer than Batum. OJ Mayo, you know, Sanders is a little up and down, but still, I mean, you start to look at that team. That's a pretty good team, man.
Quality depth. And they look, you mentioned between Giannis and Parker, two 19-year-olds. They also have a future. Everything about the Heat has always been, we lost LeBron. We're going to stay in the moment. We're going to stay relevant now. Well, now's the point they have to show that they can stay relevant because you're right. They lost to Milwaukee here. Knight hit those three late three-pointers to put the game away. He's playing very, very well, so you have that going on. Point guards have been killing the Heat, whether it's Jeff Teague, whether it's John Wall. The Heat, we're lucky that really the Knicks don't have that kind of penetrating player in Jose Calderon, or that could have been a problem Sunday in New York as well. So that's a concern. Then Memphis, the only undefeated home team in the NBA, the Heat have them on Sunday.
Wow.
Then you go to Phoenix, and they're three-point guards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just one guy. You're talking about Bledsoe. You're talking about Dragic. You're talking about Isaiah Thomas. Then you get Denver the second night in altitude, the NBA's ultimate curse on a back-to-back. This is a hell of a challenge.
Yeah.
You could, like Eric Spoelstra says, you can either be strong and step up to it, or you might get exposed. But I'm telling you, by the time I talk to you next week, we're going to have a read on the fortitude of this Heat team, if nothing else.
How serious is the Deng injury?
Well, the fact that he was wearing a splint and that it's a bone bruise on two fingers, on his thumb and index finger, on his right hand, I think we're looking at least a week. And all of a sudden, you know, you can look at the depth of this team, and I know you are a James Ennis fan.
Yeah.
But
he's not ready yet to do that.
Exactly. He's not ready to step in the starting lineup. Danny Granger, from what I'm told, it's almost like investigative reporting trying to figure out what's going on there. What I'm told is he has a strength deficit on one leg because of the hamstring issue, and the Heat would prefer that he not play until he gets a solid base where he can shoot his jumper off equal footing. I don't know if they have that luxury right now, because honestly, when I look at this lineup, I mean, I'll throw it back at UO, I don't know who I would start at small forward right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Williams isn't really a small forward.
No.
I wouldn't want to play him and McRoberts together. Again, it's such a mismatched roster. I'm not so sure that there aren't certain teams, like against Phoenix, where you might see Spoelstra come out with Cole Chalmers and Dwayne Wade and go to a three-guard front, because the only other option I really see right now would be to play Ennis in that role as a starting forward. And that's very shaky when you're also trying to break in Josh McRoberts.
No, I'm with you there. And I like getting McRoberts back into the starting lineup because he's a glue guy. Yesterday, 4 points, 3 steals, 5 assists. You know, that's kind of what you're going to get from him. Hopefully you'll get a little bit even more production from him points-wise.
You need that.
Yeah, you definitely need that. But I'm with you. You have to start Ennis, I think, at this point. I mean, one of the bright spots for Ennis, too, is he is willing to rebound. And so I know offensively his game still is not there. It's a little out of control at times.
Right.
But he's got so much skill that the only way – I mean, Ira, these next 2 years – I get you want to go in the playoffs. I get you want to win. But at the same time, you're going to have to sacrifice some of that. And I think fans are going to have to realize that for the development of some of these young guys.
But you could look at it the other way. And you could look at it, but you also have an expiring Dwayne Wade, to an degree an expiring and highly paid Chris Bosh. And you want to make those meaningful years for those two players also, which is why they went for veterans, which is why they went for Dang and they went for Granger and they went for McRoberts. To win now also. I mean, honestly, if the Danny Granger thing worked out the right way, they'd be fine. We'd be saying, okay, put Danny Granger, a former All-Star at small forward, and you're good to go. And maybe this will be the fast track where they'll say, hey, forget the deficit, the strength deficit in the legs. We need you out there. You need to be Danny Granger. That's probably the safer way to go if he's able to do that.
I don't know if you know Will Carroll from, he was at SI, now he's at Bleacher Report, and, you know, he lives in Indiana, and I bring him on every week. At the beginning of the year, he's been around the Pacers for a while, and he's, you know, what his deal is injury expert, and he was convinced that Miami's not going to get anything out of Granger because his legs are so bad at this point that there's no way they're going to be able to get him to play on a consistent basis. And so far, he's right. I mean, it just doesn't look like – I don't know where the light at the end of the tunnel is with Danny Granger because it's been a few years now. Nobody can get any kind of consistency out of that body.
I think what they're trying to do is what they did with Mike Miller. Well, Mike Miller wasn't an everyday player, but when they needed him and they had to have him, they were able to get him enough rest that he was able to contribute and to be effective for them. I think they're taking the same approach with Danny, that they know they're not going to get 80 games or 60 games out of him. Can they get 35, where at least he's a meaningful person on the court, where the other team at least has to respect it, the three-point line? He did play well in the preseason until he aggravated the hamstring, so their hope is he can get back to that. A lot of this stuff is based on hope, though, because of the limited roster that we're talking about, because so many pieces aren't really ready, that they went with Shannon Brown. Well, that didn't work out at all. Now they got a developmental project in Hassan Whiteside, but he's not really going to play. So there's probably 4 or 5 or even 6 players on this roster you can't rely on as much. And when you get injuries, the lack of depth is the first thing that shows.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, we'll wrap it up with this. What'd you think about the King coming out and saying, I don't really want the All-Star game in Cleveland? First of all, I think the entire NBA and writers don't want to go to Cleveland either for the All-Star game. So let's start with that. But it's like he put it, it'll be too much, too much of a burden on me. I love how this guy is all about him and nothing else. You know, he was part of a franchise for 4 years that's about the team. If there's one concept he didn't take away from this place, that's it.
Except that's his reality, that in Cleveland, I mean, it's like I mentioned at the top here. He has another team that's absolutely relying on him to bail them out all the time, and he's doing that now, and that's why they're rising back up the standings. But he's an industry. He is a player, coach, general manager, owner, so that's why everyone goes for him for comment. You know what? Another reason if he stayed in Miami, he wouldn't have to deal with that issue, because the Boat Show is here the same weekend every year as the All-Star Game. That's the reason that the Heat doesn't get the All-Star Game, because of hotel space and getting around and convention center space because of the Boat Show. Another reason LeBron should have stayed here. He wouldn't have to worry about the All-Star Game in his hometown.
That's crazy, man. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. And, of course, catch his terrific work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel website or at your doorstep. Ira, be safe in your travels, my friend, and enjoy the basketball.
I will talk to you from frigid Denver next week. Thank you, O.
You got it, my man. There you go. That's right. They play Denver Wednesday next week, so Ira will be joining us on Thursday before he heads off to Utah. All right, let's talk about Craig Zins. Acura of Pembroke Pines, the finest dealership in the business, baby. And, of course, they've got it going on because Larry Schlossberg and the boys have been the number one volume sales dealership in the Southeast United States now for four straight years, about to be five straight. I mean, they are tearing up the competition. That's why you don't need to drive around South Florida when they're number one in the Southeast United States. And listen to these lease features. The ILX is $149, the RDX and the TLX $279, the MDX and the RLX $399, $29.95 due at signing, plus tax tag and registration. I pulled into the parking lot today, right? And I park. And I noticed next to me, Josh Baumgarten, by the way, who is the chief editor of Page Q, he's got a TSX. So I pull into the QAM parking lot. To my right, I see a TSX, which I know is Josh's. And then to my left, I see a white Acura TL. I don't know who owns the white Acura TL in the building, but it's funny. You see, smart people drive Acuras. They are great vehicles. I'm telling you, I've had mine for over 4 years, about to be 5 years, still averaging 29 miles to the gallon in the city. It's fantastic, man. And when I go on trips like to Tampa with Brandon, or I go to a concert or whatever, I've gone to Tampa and back in a full tank. I mean, it is crazy. I put 550 miles in a full tank there and back, averaging somewhere between 33, 34 miles to the gallon. I'm telling you, they're reliable. They're fantastic. I've had mine for 5 years. All I've ever done is service. And that's brakes. That is filters, oil, and the tires. That's it. That's all I've done to that car. My wife drives the RDX. She loves it. Folks, they've got a fleet of certified pre-owned vehicles. They look like they're brand new. And by the way, outside of the lease features, they've also got 0% financing and no payments until next year for qualified buyers. They've also got used cars, all makes, all models, to fit all kinds of budgets. Get on down there. See the selection. Largest selection of 2015 models in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. It's Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. All right, welcome back, folks. Big O with you. We take you till 1. Coop and Crowder take over at that point. We promised you that at 11, every Thursday we do it at the same time. We talk to Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post, Canes beat writer. You can check out the Canes Watch blog. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matty Ports. A lot of stuff to talk about, some good and some bad. Let's bring him aboard. Matt, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, O. How are you?
I cannot complain, my brother, but UM fans are complaining left and right. For me personally, I am not shocked because I know the history of this program. They're cheap, and they've always been cheap, and they've always gone that route. Unfortunately, in today's college football, if you're cheap, you're probably not going to survive and thrive. So they're keeping Golden around. Your thoughts on all of that right now?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's funny, as we're talking, you know, the news is coming out that Florida just hired Jim McElwain.
Yep. And they just paid a $7.5 million buyout. Yep.
Which, I mean, I saw a tweet from Darren Rovell of ESPN, their sports business reporter, and said that the average buyout is $1 million. So Jim McElwain's was 7.5, which is just unbelievable. I mean, Al Golden's is not that high. I don't know the exact figure, but I'm led to believe it's not even close to that. I expected this, obviously. I mean, Blake James has said, you know, all along, Al, he said the same thing. Al is our coach and will continue to be our coach. He said the same thing to me, you know, Tuesday, the same thing to a couple other newspapers in South Florida and the Associated Press. So, you know, like the same stuff. I expected him to be given another year. No surprise to me. I mean, you look at, you know, you can spin the stats any way you want. You can say that, you know, there was progress here, you know, even on the defensive side. You know, one thing Al pointed to in his interview with Joe Rose is the defense went from 90th to 15th, you know, in total defense.
Well, yeah, okay, that's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and he's supporting his you know, his friend and his defensive coordinator, and that's fine.
Didn't you love that part of the interview when Joe, because Joe asked him every possible question you could ask him. He did a great job. But I love how he said, yeah, no, we'll assess everything at the end of the year. We check everything out. And then as the interview went on, all he did was praise D'Onofrio and praise Coley. And so in the end, you just knew that I don't care what you talk about assessment, you're not making any changes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is the job of a head coach. I mean, you know, not everybody's like a Steve Spurrier who's going to get up there and say, boy, we sucked. And, you know, I think I'm terrible. I think my players are terrible. I mean, that's not Al's style, you know. I mean, look at a press conference of Steve Spurrier, and, you know, up in South Carolina, and know, even with the Gators. You know, that's just Al's deal, and that's, you know, he's very positive, you know, very supportive. I think, you know, you can sense the genuine, you know, support when he's talking about a guy like Stacy Coley. You know, when Joe Rose asked about Stacy Coley and Al was like, you know, we really want to get him back on track. You can sense that it's genuine there. A lot of times his positivity to me seems protective, you know, in kind of a, I don't really know what the word I'm looking for is, but, you know, he's kind of like, he's really like making it, he's really going hard on protecting, you know, like say Mark D'Onofrio or, you know, things that aren't going well, things that aren't going so well. You know, he's really like, you know, making sure that he puts a positive spin on it.
Yeah. And I don't mind that. It's just, and I get it. It's just the position that they're in at this point in time. Now, have you been able to talk to people within the University of Miami, any boosters, any people from the, what's it called, from their, what's it called, the
Board of Trustees,
anybody on the inside, what are they feeling about Al Golden?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're disappointed. I don't know too many people that are satisfied, you know, but as far as getting change, you know, change happening, that's not exactly, well, it's not an easy process for one, and it's not a simple process at any point. And then when you think about the fact that these are people that are trying to figure out who the next president of the university is, I mean, with Donna Shalala leaving in May, you know, it's a hard time right now. And they see Al as, you know, he's disappointing in the results division. But he does represent a measure of stability. I mean, you know, it's not like they completely tanked. They didn't go 4-8 this year. They went 6-6, and that was definitely disappointing. But there's enough arguments there. You know, Al can say, hey, it's the schedule. You know, we played a tough schedule. Look at where else we improved. No,
please.
I know. But I'm saying,
you play the ACC. That's not a tough schedule.
Well, to the hardcore football fan, absolutely unacceptable. To the people that have these big-level decisions, they can maybe wait another year.
It's amazing. And the way the fan base has reacted, you're just going to see less fans in the building. And it's already bad as it is when it comes to attendance. I don't see – the problem is I don't see a lot of support anywhere outside of that university. And when you talk to those people and they're all disappointed, have any of them said, we need a change?
Yeah. No, definitely.
Okay.
But it's all kind of in a hand-wringing sense of, you know, hey, you know, we hate the way this is going. You know, this isn't good. But, you know, are we going to buy him out? Are we going to, you know, are we going to add this onto our plate while we're trying to figure out who the next leader of this university is? You know, it's kind of, you can only do so much at this point. That said, I mean, the more noise, the tougher it becomes to ignore. So, you know, and I know fans are upset, and they're certainly making their, you know, their feelings be known, you know, all over the place. I mean, I check my Twitter mentions and my email inbox.
Oh, man.
I know I'm not the only one hearing about it, of course. You know, so fans have every right to be upset, and certainly the more they make their case known, you know, it's certainly going to help, I would think, if they want Golden out.
And by the way, Joe, in that excellent interview he did with Golden, he also asked him about the Coley rumors, and he completely acted like he had never heard anything about it. So what have you been able to find out about that? Because it looked like there was nothing to it. Is it still that way, nothing to it, and it looks like that staff will stay together?
Yeah, James Coley wasn't a fit there from the people I was talking to in the Kentucky side. And it's my understanding that they never offered him that job. I believe Al probably knew something about it, but, you know, obviously he's very bunker, you know, very bunker mentality. I think that's his thing. You know, he'll say that he didn't hear about it. I don't know if he did or not, but, you know, the facts are, you know, James Coley is not going to Kentucky. That was just a wild rumor, and certainly won't be the last one, you know, that we hear about in this silly season here of coaching changes and all that stuff. You know, it would have made sense, you know, on the outside, you know, but I think they're running a spread offense there anyway. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they didn't want to hire James Coley, who has his tempro offense.
Amazing. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Matty Ports. All right, let's talk about the good stuff. Coach Larrañaga, dude, how impressed are you with what they've done early on this season. I mean, after covering all that mess now you did in football, I hope you have the pleasure of covering this basketball team, because now you're going to get to cover something really nice.
Yeah, it's a little bit different when you walk over to the Bank United Center. It's kind of like a place of positive energy, you know. It's different. They're better than I thought they would be. I thought that they would be strong. I thought that they would kind of get it together through this non-conference schedule, and you know, maybe there'd be some ups and downs. But I really didn't expect them to be as dominant as they've been. I'll take a step back in that. They haven't been dominant. They've just been strong. You know, they held on for a couple wins last week. Joe wasn't very happy with the defense, but then they come out, you know, against Illinois, which is a good team with a lot of shooters, a lot of scorers, and held their own. I mean, the biggest thing about this team right now is that they're still lacking up front a little bit. You know, they're not perfect with the defense, but they have shooters. I mean, they have probably eight guys that can score 20 points. And then you look at what they're getting from Kanye Jaquiri, who, you know, I think he's the key to their season. If he keeps performing at this level, and they can compete with the elite in the ACC.
I watched Duke and Wisconsin last night. I saw a little bit of Iowa and North Carolina. And, you know, I think Miami can compete with all those teams. When I'm looking at what I see from Miami, what I see from them, I'm not saying that they're going to go out and beat them, but I'm not looking at Duke like they're going to blow out Miami. I think Miami can hang with them, actually, and maybe even surprise them.
Yeah, and when you think of, you know, when you think of what Larry Nagy's been able to do in big games, you know, last year Syracuse, last year beat North Carolina, you know, they're in those games with a team last year that, you know, just didn't have really any go-to scorers and really was just kind of a bunch of guys. This year, you know, not only do they have this team now really guard heavy, a lot of scoring, have a great leader in Rodriguez, have a go-to guy in Sheldon McClellan, a lot of young talent that's coming on. You think about they're getting Ivan Cruz-Uceda back. He's a 6'10 guy, good rebounder, can shoot a little bit, very smart, you know, passer in the post. And they also get Davon Reed, who's probably their most versatile defensive player, guy who's about 6'6", 6'7", can guard, can bring the ball up, can score. All good things. I mean, this team's going to be better when it plays Duke and North Carolina and Louisville.
Virginia. Virginia. They got Virginia. I mean, I saw a little bit of Virginia, Maryland. They're strong at guard, by the way, just like Miami is.
Yeah, I didn't mention Virginia because they won't have those guys. They might have Reed back. They won't have Uceda back from Virginia. That's the ACC opener on the 7th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But they will get those guys back to the Duke game on the 13th. So this is going to be a team that just keeps getting better. And obviously, the Canes fans need some, you know, something fun to watch. That's the place to go.
Man, that guy is—he's the best coach on that campus, dude. I mean, that what he has done, and let me tell you, I don't want to even poo-poo Katie Meyer. Katie Meyer's done a really good job with the women's team. I know we don't talk about that, but when you talk about the basketball side of that university, pretty solid overall.
Yeah, pretty good. It's you know, the basketball school sign that I saw the other day. It's sarcasm and stuff, but hey, there's something to it. They got a good program for sure right now.
Hey, the NBA team is the only one that has real big success here in town. And then now you start looking at the college teams and the football teams, whether it's the Dolphins or the Canes, they just haven't proven they can get it done. But I mean, if this continues, yeah, we'll turn into a basketball town, which I never thought in my wildest dreams we'd ever be that, but, you know, it is what it is. They're the ones that are getting it done. Football's not getting it done. Basketball's getting it done. It's amazing.
Yeah, but you know the standards are higher for football, too. I mean, you know, this will always be a football place.
I know that. I know that. But it's funny how the basketball's was getting it done, not football.
Yeah, it's gravy right now, though. You know that. I mean, you know, nobody's you know, nitpicking Larinaga and, you know, kind of the adjustments that he makes down the stretch. If they start losing these tight games, you know, everybody's going to say, oh, well, you know, the team competed. But, hey, the standards can raise. You know, maybe in the next couple of years, you know, we're looking at a team that's consistently making runs, you know, in the tournament, and then we're talking a little more basketball than football, but who knows?
No doubt. Follow him on Twitter, Matty Ports. Catch his terrific work. Catch Matt Porter's work there, the Canes Watch blog at the Palm Beach Post, and also get it at your doorstep. Matty, as always, man, thank you for the time and the insight.
All right, I'll take care, brother.
You got it. There you go. Matt Porter, man. Good stuff there. By the way, Brandon, do you have the prices right on your side?
I do not. I have divorce court, or America's court, I shouldn't call it.
You are losing out. I mean, losing out big time. I'm just, there is a brunette there.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Lower half, amazing. Whole thing, amazing. But
the whole
lower
thing
half,
is amazing. She's
really
pretty,
amazing.
But the lower half, holy crap.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Wow, what a backside and what legs.
We might have to change that over here. I didn't realize that.
I mean, I want.
And the blonde is pretty, but she makes the blonde look like nothing.
Oh, no, the blonde is pretty, too, though. I mean, Price is Right always has beautiful women, you know, displaying all that stuff. But the brunette that's there, whoo, I can tell she's Latina.
Congratulations, Drew Carey.
Woo, yeah,
good,
man.
Good for you.
Ooh, Price is Right rocks, not Cleveland. Man, let's talk about Life Boost. They are rocking it, baby. We're down 22 pounds thanks to Dr. Strad. And, folks, listen, as we get older, right, this is what happens. We had our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, and our bodies start to break down. That's the biggest issue that happens to all of us. Then you get the less energy, the weight loss, the decreased sex drive. So this is why you want to go see my friend, Dr. Strad, because he's going to get it done for you, all right? Now, listen, my biggest issues were lack of energy and weight loss. It was hard for me to lose weight. So when they put me through their blood work and all their tests, because that's what they do, they go through a complete checkup, blood work, everything, because Dr. Strad and his staff, they will design a diet plan for each individual because we're all different. Some of you may have higher testosterone rates than I do, or lower, or higher HGH rates than I do. And by the way, this isn't for the guys only. This is also for the ladies out there, because the same thing happens to the ladies that happens to us. Our bodies start to break down. We lose the sex drive. We lose the mental focus, the mental fog, the difficulty in building muscles, stiff joints, aches, pains. I'm telling you, if you're suffering from any of that or all of that, this is what you need, bioidentical hormones. It's the type your body produces naturally, and it's the key to looking and feeling better. But you need a doctor that knows exactly what he's doing, and this is why you want to call Dr. Strat at Life Boost. And what you're going to love about Dr. Strat, this is why I don't want you to delay. If you want more energy, you want to get that edge back, you want to lose weight, or maybe you want to have better sex, or how about this? All of the above, because you may be suffering from some or all of it, call Life Boost now. 844-44-BOOST. Save it on that cell phone, 844-44-BOOST, or go to lifeboostmd.com. Call today. Get a free consultation. That's right. Sit down with Dr. Strat. Talk about your health. Learn about what they do at Life Boost and ask your questions directly to the doctor at no cost to you. And during the month here, Life Boost is offering $100 off their blood work cost and get a free energy-boosting B12 injection on your first visit. Listen, I started off my weight loss by detoxifying and cleansing my liver because my enzymes were through the roof. And by the way, that fat around your body, all it's doing is sending toxins into your intestines, your liver, your kidneys. This is why we break down. This is why we get diseases. We want to get those toxins out. We want to get that fat out of your body so you can feel better. And, by the way, the HGH levels and the testosterone levels, for me, my HGH were in the low 80s. They had to be in the 300s. Testosterone levels were in the low 300s. They had to be in the 800s. This is why you want to call Life Boost now. Tell them that Big O sent you. 844-44-BOOST. That's 844-44-BOOST. Or visit lifeboostmd.com. All right, welcome back, folks. Big O with you. We take you, of course, till 1 o'clock. Coop and Crowder, baby, take over at that point. They will carry you till 3. Hog, Zach, and Shay do their thing till 7. And then, of course, a little Panthers hockey as they host the Blue Jackets, that is, from Columbus. Panthers, man, 10-7-6. 10-7-6. Trying to make a playoff run this year. I like it. They just acquired defenseman Jesse Blacker, by the way, from the Anaheim Ducks in exchange for Colby Aerobic and a future draft pick consideration. And by the way, good news for the Miami Dolphins. Great news for the Miami Dolphins. Haloti Ngata has been suspended for the remainder of the regular season for the use of Adderall. So he will be out for the next 4 games for the Baltimore Ravens. If they make the playoffs, I guess he'll be available then. But what a huge, and I mean literally a huge break for the Miami Dolphins. So we'll see. That pocket is in the middle is not going to cave in as much for Ryan Tannehill. So he's going to have some opportunities there. Take deep shots against the Ravens, please. They've got a bad secondary. Ryan needs to throw it deep, man. Maybe if he hooks up a couple times, the kid gets confidence, gets the touch going, and now we can have a real quarterback here. This rinky-dink Mickey Mouse offense that they've got going on, you're going nowhere. You're not going to win anything significant in this league with that rinky-dink, dink-and-dunk offense. You got a crappy secondary that you're facing. The Ravens have a terrific front seven. It's been weakened with the suspension of Nada. Okay, no, I'm not going to deny that. That should be a huge break for Miami. But their secondary sucks. You've got to go after them. You've got to take shots. All right, let's open up the lines. Where's the confidence level for you Dolphin fans out there? How are you Heat fans feeling after last night? I didn't like the game last night. I did not enjoy watching that game. Too many turnovers, too much sloppy play. Just didn't enjoy. And you had some good play from your big guys. They came through. They just didn't take care of the basketball, play good enough defense. You going to say something there?
Okay. No, I'm agreeing with you on all that.
All right, you positioned the mic. I don't know if you wanted to fire off on something there.
Well, it was taken away from me because we were using it for other purposes to test the ISDN.
Okay, all good in the hood, as they say. All right, 567-0560, 305 or 954 in front of it, #560 for you cell phone users. You can send us a text. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, at Big O Show. And let's go to the phones here. Let's go to Mike on a mobile. Mikey, what's up?
Big O, man, you're a trip, man. You got me laughing over you. You're talking about the girl Price is Right, which I've seen her. Oh. But, man, you work with Caroline, bro. She's an attractive woman, very pretty woman.
Yes, she is.
That's all you guys should need, sitting, working with Caroline. Don't worry about Price is Right.
Oh, thank you so much,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but I'm a facilitator of fun, okay? That's what I consider myself. So if I have to pass on information that there happens to be a knockout on The Price is Right, I got to mention it. We have our own knockout in our radio show. You know, I get that. But we got to mention some of the other knockouts that are out there, too. I'm trying to enlighten folks out there that, hey.
I understand, man. It's the Latino in us, man. Cuban.
Exactly, bro. You know, somewhere, somehow, somebody right now is rolling a blunt at his home listening to us and said, all right, let me check out Price is Right when O said that. And I know I turned somebody on in many, many ways with that advice.
Well, Big O.
I turned them on to turn on The Price is Right.
Yes.
Then they got turned on by watching her. Get it?
Okay.
Get the mind out of the gutter now.
All right.
Not that there's anything wrong for anybody out there that plays for the home team, okay? I got nothing against that.
Hey, Big O, we've been talking about this Dolphin team for years, man. I've been listening to you, the East-West Shrine game. You talk about the talent there,
Senior Bowl,
yeah, Senior
Combine.
Yeah. You know, the Dolphin team, when they play physical teams, they usually don't have a good outing. Because the Dolphin team, I mean, you look at the Dolphin receivers, they're all 6 foot tall, okay? And then you look at their tight end, which is, their tight ends are undersized. And then their linebacker, their running backs, they're all, you know, not big bruisers.
Yep.
This happens when they play a physical team. I just hope, you know, the fans are going to come out, man. Miami's going to represent. And I just maybe see the team playing with a little more confidence, Big O. But, Big O, we got to throw the ball downfield. We need to hit the middle of the field. And I'll hang up. You guys have a good one.
You got it, my man. I'm with you there. They've got to open up this offense, man. That's the only way we're ever going to find out if this kid can play. If this kid can actually be the guy to take us deep into the playoffs and a shot at a title. That's what we all want. Look, it's nice to sneak into the playoffs this year. If they're able to do that, that's great. I'm not one of those guys that, oh, do I think they're going to make noise in the playoffs? No, but if they at least are able to sneak in, that's a surprise for me. That's a pleasant surprise. She's now styling and showing the weights. But they got the price in the way of the lower part of the body.
Could also do that. Here is Brandon Rodriguez eating Cheez-Its, and here is Chad right here being completely useless.
Yeah,
Chad with the glasses.
But you're not on. But you're not on TV.
And then here's
so
Brandon
we can
again.
Share. Hey. I mean, if you're willing, if you want, we could get a webcam, and then you could do that while we're talking, and so people have more of a visual of you. We could do that if you want.
I don't have that black dress, though. That little black dress, I don't got that. So I think it won't be the same.
That black dress, what's under that black dress that is just absolutely amazing. Anyway, Hawks over the Heat last night, 112-102. They got Milwaukee on Friday. Tonight we got the Panthers in action against the Blue Jackets. We're all waiting, I mean, desperately for this game on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens because we all know that the playoffs are pretty much on the line with this game. I expect them to beat the Jets again. I expect them to beat Minnesota. Could they lose those games? Of course they could, but they should win those games. I don't expect them to win next week. So they've got to win this game. This is the season right here against the Ravens. Because if you lose against the Ravens, then you are forced to win against New England. And we all know that New England's going to, first of all, they're going to want revenge. Miami thoroughly embarrassed them in that game in the second half. I mean, I haven't seen, as a Dolphin fan, I got to tell you, the second half against New England was one of my favorite halves of football that I have seen in the last 10, 15 years with the Dolphins. Because it was just absolute domination on every level. And I'm never used to seeing that from my beloved Finns. But to do that, I would give anything to get that team to show up for four quarters against Baltimore this Sunday. That would be so awesome. And if you don't remember it, just go back and watch that second half against New England to start the season. Man, I mean, the first half was an absolute disaster. The three turnovers, everything went wrong. But that second half was so awesome. The defense and the running game put on a freaking show. You didn't even need much of the passing in that game. It wasn't. Tannehill was actually carried in that game. They won in spite of him, let's put it that way. That's how dominant Miami was with their defense and their running game in that second half. Awesome. Pat's in Boca. Pat, what's up?
Hey, just talking about the Dolphins, but quick comment about the Heat. Condolences last night, but the team's going to gel. It's too many new players, and, you know, barring injuries, Spo will get it together.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you lose Deng again yesterday, so now that's another injury you got to deal with, and you got to put a young guy in there that might not be ready for it, which he's not. As much as I love James Ennis, he's not ready to be a starter. I think he's ready to contribute off the bench, but not a starter.
Yeah, and last comment. I love the washed-up Wade putting up all these points. What washed-up player puts up his points?
Nobody. Of course not. That's ridiculous. I mean, last year he was awesome. He shot like 52%, averaged 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, something that's like never been done in the NBA or something.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And when he's out of the game, big deal, but other players can be out a whole season or whatever, the guy on the Bulls. About the Dolphins,
yes, sir.
Is there a player that switched from wide receiver or any other position to quarterback that we know of, a name in NFL history? Can you come up one that we would remember his name?
I say it again. What was the question?
Has there ever been a quarterback in the NFL with the name that's recognizable that ever went from another position to quarterback in college? Like Tannehill, that made a name for himself.
I'm trying to remember. That's a great question. Somebody that was moved to another position in college, then went back to quarterback and was successful.
That didn't just stay quarterback the whole way through college,
I don't remember that because, remember, this is the key here. If you're good in college and you're a good quarterback,
right. There
is no way any coach moves you to wide receiver.
When
they move you to wide receiver, it's because you're not good enough to be a quarterback.
Which kind of solidifies the fact he's a great athlete. Final thing.
Yes.
We're so easy, other than you and some others, we're so easy on Tannehill. Geez, if it wasn't for a running game, I don't think Elway would have been elevated above Marino. The poor son of a gun, Marino, had, I think, a running game, two of his whole entire career.
Maybe if that, yeah. You want to call one of those Kareem Abdul-Jabbar years, having a really good running back because he scored 15 one-yard touchdowns, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, the sad thing is right now I'm kind of – I don't expect exactly what you do. If we get in the playoffs, it'll be a surprise, and if we go any further, great. But
it'd be awesome.
Here, let me finish with a question. As things as they are now, I know we can't finish the rest of the four games. Do you think the emphasis should be on the owner and the coaches, the front office and the coaches,
everyone,
or the team, or the players?
Right, you got it, Pat. Appreciate the phone call. It's got to be on the owner and the coaches because those are the people that need to be difference makers. The front office, the coaches. They're the ones that pick the talent. They're the ones that develop the players. And if they don't get into the playoffs, they haven't shown enough progress. It's time to move on.
The Florida House Experience, where people get better on the legendary 560 QAM. Now back, back, now back, 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 back to the Big O Show on 560 QAM. You're unbelievable.
OMD? Or no, it's EMF. EMF, that's right. Why am I getting orchestra maneuvers in the dark mixed up with EMF? What does EMF even stand for? This is like the only song they had, right?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
You would know better than I, though.
I'm pretty sure of that. You're unbelievable. Oh! That's what you're listening to, the Big O Show. And we take you, of course, till 1. Coop and Crowder will take over. We got a little football tonight. We have the Bears and the Cowboys. The Bears kind of like ruin football for you, right? Because once you know you're watching a Bears game, you're watching like a bad football team.
I have a lot of friends that are Bears fans, and I really feel bad for them. Every year, they somehow start off with a pretty good record. There's a little hope there. But you know what I will say about Bears fans, though? They're usually realistic. They're usually objective.
Yeah.
They don't get too carried away with their expectations of the team or with how they perceive the team.
No, I'm with you there. I mean, the Bears are it's just a bad football team. It's stuff that you can't explain offensively with the kind of talent that they have.
And it's funny, they always had great defenses. Now they have the talent on the offensive side of the ball. Before, you always knew you were at least going to get good defense, but they never had great quarterbacks. Jim Miller.
Right, you had a great defensive-minded coach. Now you've got an offensive-minded coach, and look at what's happened.
And the defense is just awful.
And they were getting old in the last couple of years as it is.
Right.
So
but they still were a pretty solid team, I mean, considering.
Yeah, but as they got older and broken down, it's just not a good team. And tonight, Dallas is favored by 3.5 on the road in Chicago. Dallas should have their way with the Bears tonight.
Oh, they're playing in Chicago?
Yeah, they're playing in Chicago.
The Bears can't play in Chicago, so of course, there you go.
Yeah, they're 2-3 at home.
They were 0-5 at home, right, or something like that?
Yeah, 0-3, because they're 2-3 at home now.
Okay.
So they've won a couple games at home since. They're 5-7 now, but, I mean, the Cowboys have no reason to lose to these guys. They should win. They're a better football team.
They've been struggling themselves lately, though.
Yeah, but the Bears are so bad. You should be able to run the ball like crazy with DeMarco Murray, and they're not going to stop Dez Bryant, dude. I just can't see them doing that. I can see, like, last week when they played against a team that really rose to the challenge defensively, but the Bears, I mean, Philly's got a much better defense. The Bears have no defense.
DeMarco Murray owners are very happy with your assessment.
Oh, yeah.
And outlook for tonight's game.
1,427 yards and 8 touchdowns for DeMarco Murray on 288 carries already with 4 games left in the season.
And the playoffs are starting for a lot of owners out there, right?
Well, the most real leagues start today.
Yeah.
Start this week. Some bogus leagues will go one more week and then go into week 17 as their Super Bowl, and that is so dangerous to have it. Yeah. And by the way, speaking of fantasy, tomorrow Scott Pianowski will be joining us at noon. By the way, next week, what do we have? Eric Roberts is going to stop by, the actor.
Yes, Monday.
Not
Monday. I'm sorry. That'll probably
be
Wednesday, but we do have him locked in.
Locked in.
Wednesday, we're going to have Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho will hopefully be in studio with us.
Chad's going to pick him up. Chad is lobbying to pick up Y2J and bring him to the studio.
Well, I'm hoping, not anything against you, Chad, but I'm hoping that what I told Andy I think it could work out for everyone. So hopefully we'll be able to do that, and we'll have Chris Jericho in studio with us on Tuesday because Fozzy will be performing at the Culture Room. And by the way, we have how many tickets?
5 pairs.
5 pairs of tickets to see Chris Jericho and his band Fozzy at the Culture Room. Are you going or what, Brandon? You want to?
If I can get there, yeah.
Okay. It's in Broward, dude.
Neighborhood.
Right off of Oakland and
Federal?
Federal. US 1, whatever, Federal, yeah. Right there. So it's easy to get to for you. And let me tell you, the Culture Room. Have you guys been to a concert in the Culture Room?
I have not.
I think it's one of the better, like, small venues to go see a concert, man. I mean, it's very European-like. If you've ever, have you guys ever seen Top of the Pops? That's a show that was in England. Well, go to YouTube. That's where I've seen it before. And what it is like an American Bandstand or some type of show like that. But what they do is they bring acts. They bring famous rock acts. I mean, you can go to the Top of the Pops and you'll see every band from the last like 30 years there. Okay. I don't even know if they still run the show, but it's like a phenomenal show from England. It's been going on forever. And they had all kinds of bands, and you see them there, you know, you see bands like that. When you look at the place, the venue where they hold it at, and you look at the Culture Room, it reminds you a lot of Top of the Pops.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I still want to get out to Grand Central with you. I know you go out to...
Grand Central is also a great place in Miami.
They have a lot of good acts there, too.
Yes, they do have a lot of good acts. I would say the acoustics are slightly better at Culture Room.
Okay.
Okay? I would say that. If I had to, you know, nitpick... I'll say that at the Culture Room, I think you hear it a little better. Did you YouTube it there, Caroline? I don't know, because I saw you working it when I said it. No? No.
What was the name again?
Top of the Pops.
There we go. Because I finally got to YouTube, but then I completely forgot.
She got Dr. Seuss coming up.
Oh, you forgot, huh?
Yeah, because I've never heard of that before. So
it's that special strain that makes you forget.
Green eggs and ham.
George is in Hollywood. George, what's up?
Hey,
yes, what's up, George?
Hey, earlier you were saying you were on Kansas City Radio.
I was on Kansas City Radio? I don't remember that. Why? Hello, George? Okay. 567-0560, 305 or 954 in front of it. #560 for you cell phone users. You can text us. You can also tweet us at Big O Show. Follow us. We follow back. And that guy needs AT&T, baby. Fish, what's up, passionate one?
You were at Kansas City Steakhouse on University Drive. That's what he's trying to say.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay, yeah, definitely. Any steakhouse, I'll be there. I'm there, no doubt. By the way, is that place good? I've never been there.
Oh, man, that was like, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. Brother, I didn't know about it, so I'm going, okay, I guess so. If it's a steakhouse, yeah, I'll definitely go.
Brother, we got to win, man. We got to win Sunday, brother.
This is a
double. This is a double for the Dolphins. If we win, we just come out like double winners because New England can kill us. I mean, they won't matter. They can make it for us.
Yeah, no. I think, and if you win Baltimore and you go out and you know you'll take care of business against the Jets and the Vikings, hey, it's 10 wins. You should be in the playoffs, and we all should be really happy that at least they got to sneak into the playoffs.
Brother, check out the Ravens' offense. I don't know. I think the Ravens' offense is worse in passing than the Ravens than the Jets.
No. Come on, man. Flacco is a much better quarterback. Flacco's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Listen, Owen Daniels has had a nice year at the tight end spot. They've got Torrey Smith and Steve Smith Sr. They're going to be a pain in the ass to deal with offensively, and their running back has had a great year.
I know, brother, but we got to come up and make those tackles. That defensive backfield's got to come up and make those tackles. But check out those stats because I think their passing offense ain't that great, brother.
Yeah, well, listen, their pass defense ain't that great, that's for sure. And, by the way, the Haloti Ngata suspension is awesome. That is a great break for the Dolphins.
Who's going to start at center for the Dolphins?
I would imagine Satelli's going to start, right?
Well, he's probable right now.
I think he's starting. Probable means you're playing, man. I don't care what the percentage is. Probable means you're pretty much in. So I expect Satelli to be the starting center.
I want my man in there. I love him, man. Pouncey's the man at center, brother.
Oh, I'm with you there. But in this, because they struggle at guard, they've got to get by with him at guard right now. So I kind of get it. I understand the method behind the madness. At the beginning, I didn't like the idea, but then when you really look at it big picture-wise, if Satelli's never played guard, then that's really uncomfortable, whereas Pouncey has succeeded in both, so why not? And by the way, Pouncey's done a good job at guard, too, so I'm all right with that. For now, you know, Fish, next season, then you bring back Pouncey as your starting center and find a starting guard.
Big O, there ain't no next season. It's right now, brother.
Oh, no, I'm just saying for the position switch. I know there's no next year. I'm thinking about right now. I'm with you, baby.
Brother, We are at the doorstep to the road to the playoffs. The road to the Super Bowl begins in Miami this Sunday at 1 o'clock, and the fans better be livid because this is as close as we've ever come since Marino left. This is as close as we've ever come. We got to take over, brother. We got to take this thing over, Big O.
You got it, my man. Thank you, Fish. Always love the passion from the Fish Man. It's a must win. I mean, this is when you talk about clutch wins, this is the ultimate clutch win for the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. You've got to beat Baltimore. Because I know that anybody has a slim chance. Anyone can beat anyone. The Jets can beat the Patriots. They gave them a hell of a game and almost beat them. So in this league, anyone can beat anyone on the cliche any given Sunday. But having said all that, I don't expect Miami at all to win next week. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if New England blows them out because of what happened in week one, so they can kind of send the message that, hey, you guys have done all right this year, but you're still not better than we are, and we're going to prove it to you. I almost get the sense that that's what we're getting from the Patriots next week. You're going to get a real motivated team, and I'm sure Belichick is going to show them the film of that beautiful second half that the Dolphins put together, one of the most gorgeous, dominating, I mean, just satisfying second halves I've seen of football for the Miami Dolphins in the last 10, 15 years. And I know he's going to show it to them and show how they got dominated, how they got run over, how they got beaten up by the Dolphins, because the Dolphins were the bullies that day. That second half, I mean, I have never seen them slap the Patriots around like they did in week one. I'd give anything to have that team for four quarters. That would be awesome if you can get that Dolphin team for four quarters, especially this Sunday against the Ravens. All right, 2 hours down. We got one more to go, and boy, the third hour is going to be absolutely golden. Sean Salisbury is joining us next at noon, and Kadri Ismail, the former Dolphin and Raven wide receiver and analyst for the Ravens game day, will join us so we can talk a little Dolphins and Ravens. So lots of football for the next 40 minutes right here on The Q. All right, welcome back, folks. Big O with you. We take you, of course, till 1. Coop and Crowder takes over at that point. We'll go to your phone calls in a little bit, but right now it is time to talk to my man Sean Salisbury, of course, does excellent, excellent work. And a longtime quarterback in the NFL, USC star. You can catch his Prime Cut radio show at Yahoo Sports from 4 to 8 in the afternoon. And follow him on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered. Sean, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you, bud?
Can't complain, my brother. This week, I don't know if it gets any bigger for the Miami Dolphins, man. And not that I want to see anybody suspended, but a great break for Miami. Haloti Ngata with the Adderall now suspended for the next four games. So that's a huge loss for the Ravens going into this week. And Miami is home. Season on the line. I mean, if you want to make the playoffs, this is the kind of game you want to win here, Sean.
Yep, season is on the line, and with all the teams, the Browns and the, you know, and the Ravens and the Steelers, and the
San Diego,
San Diego. There's a lot of teams battling for a couple wild card spots, and it's going to come down to the last week, and this helps. You know, Ngata, to me, no offense, but and he's a hell of a player. It just reeks of that's selfish. He put his team in a bind, and I never agree with that. And every time I go up Adderall and said, well, Adderall's illegal. As far as the NFL goes, don't take it.
Right.
Don't take it. So whatever it is, it's just, I mean, for guys that seem to be so smart, there sure is a lot of ignorant decisions. And if you're not allowed to take it, read the list. Can't take it, don't take it. And if you're taking it thinking you're going to beat the system, you're going to get caught. That is a big blow, a great football player, and the Baltimore Ravens, if I'm a teammate of his, it's like, come on, dude. Really? But for the Miami Dolphins, it's a great, great situation and gives them just another body they don't have to deal with inside.
Did you watch any of the Dolphin-Jets game? Because it wasn't a pretty one on Monday night.
But sure wasn't. And, but I'll take them when I can get them. Now, I apply this to, like, Florida State, and Noles fans down there understand this, is that are the Seminoles a great team because they find ways every week to win ugly? Or is this what they are, that they're fortunate they have the best closer in college football in Jameis Winston, and they're putting themselves in a bind, and if they spot an Alabama or a Georgia Tech or an Oregon team 21 points, they come back from that? This isn't Wake Forest and North Carolina State. So how do you look at it? Is it a great thing that you win ugly all the time? Well, you keep winning, and that's good, but will it eventually get you? I'm one of those guys that subscribes to, we know what a team is at this stage of the season, college or NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Dolphins, you'll take the wins when you can get them, but every now and again, I'm okay. I think good teams win ugly sometimes, and it was an ugly win. They didn't play great. They had to fight and scratch to get it down there, and then they scored on that drive and put themselves in position to kick a field goal to win the game. So, you know, for me, I it was ugly, but I'll take it. The Jets aren't very good, but it is the NFL. So the Dolphins haven't had to fight and scrape as far as they haven't won all their games ugly. They've won some games pretty. So I'll take it. It's another win. It's against an opponent that you have to deal with in your division. It's in your conference. It helps when it comes to tiebreakers. But, mm-hmm. you know, the key is you don't want to get caught up into too many of those. If you keep winning, that's fine. But you're not going to win games like that if they're close and you're playing, or the score's not going to be like that when you're playing against the Packers of the world or the Patriots of the world.
And you know, you and I have had this conversation before. It's kind of a philosophical difference right now that you and I have about what's going on with the Dolphins and Tannehill. And one of the things that frustrated me about that game, and it's going to frustrate me if you don't do it again this week against Baltimore, is you're playing against a really bad secondary. You got a kid that can't throw the ball deep. He's never going to learn how to play with the ball deep if you don't give him opportunities to take shots. And look, Mike Wallace was open a couple times. He couldn't hit him. The one time that he did, Mike Wallace ended up dropping it. It wasn't a big-time deep ball, but at least it was like a 25, 30-yarder. This week, again, you're playing, while Baltimore's front seven's really good, and now they lost a guy in that front seven, their secondary is bad. And again, I am so convinced that you cannot win anything significant in this league if you limit your quarterback to playing in a box. And we basically, on Monday night, we had two quarterbacks playing inside a 20-yard box. Hell, Miami's box came to like 10 yards in that game because of the way the Jets were playing it. My brother, he's got to take deep shots this week against Baltimore. You've got to loosen up that safety. Make life a little easier for your offense. And at the same time, maybe build confidence up with the quarterback that if he hits a couple of those deep balls, maybe now it gets into a groove and now we got a guy that can win at every level offensively.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I don't have a philosophical difference about that. I'm a big believer in old Oakland Raider football. You come out of the first series and you take a deep shot, if it's complete or not. Then we attack, and then you get guys to back off, and you can get to your slant, hitch, curl, out, quick out, shallow crossing game. I'm a big guy in attacking. I think our difference has been the last 2 weeks, has Tannehill progressed? And I think he has. Now, a lot of the philosophy you're talking about, you're right. The Baltimore Ravens couldn't cover us as far as playing in a box, both teams, quarterbacks this past Monday night. Hell, Geno Smith couldn't play in a wet paper box if you gave him 47 footballs, okay?
Right.
So that's another thing. At least Tannehill can play out of that. And you know what? Let me give you something real quick and digress for just a second. I want you to think about Newton.
Yep.
Griffin. The guys who have done the stuff that Tannehill's doing now that have been exclusive gun guys in college that came out around the same time, one a year earlier, and Kaepernick, Tannehill, Griffin, well, Luck is advanced. So we can throw Luck in there. Russell Wilson and Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of all those guys, I can tell you this. Kaepernick has regressed. He doesn't know how to throw from the pocket unless it's his first guy.
Yeah.
More talented, but you know, I'm tired of hearing about how talented the guy is.
And by the way, and to defend a little bit of Kaepernick, they've screwed him by changing their identity because when they ran like crazy, that's what helped Kaepernick because you had to worry so much about the run. I don't know why they've decommitted from being such a dominant running team in San Francisco.
Well,
I think that's hurt
him.
Yeah,
they're physically
weird.
You know what? I agree.
Weird.
You know what? I can't keep defending that. Okay, great quarterbacks overcome that. They're great quarterbacks. His problem is he used his great legs and his powerful arm become a crutch, and he doesn't know how to play boring football. So you start to look at all these guys. So people in South Florida have a perspective. Tannehill's playing better than Kaepernick is.
Yes, he is.
Tannehill's playing better than Newton is. Tannehill's far ahead, far more mechanically advanced than RG3 is. I mean, the only guy, Russell Wilson, because I think he's the most poised player in the league, in Luck. Luck, the reason I throw him in there, he's not a read option guy, but he's got great feet.
And you talk about overcoming, boy, I don't think there's a quarterback in the league that overcomes more than Andrew Luck, dude. Wow.
Well, again, there's my point, because he beats you from the pocket.
Yes.
He's willing to take a shallow crosser. He'll take the shots. He'll overcome an interception or a fumble in the pocket and come back and do it. My point is, things are starting to progress in Miami. Now, getting back to this question about attacking, you have to. The Baltimore Ravens couldn't cover me and you and two of your listeners, okay? Their back end blows. And now, without the inside push from Nada, if you're Bill Lazor, you got to take a few shots. You have to. See, I'm a big believer in, even during an incompletion, you can be a difference maker if you're taking shots. You need to back them off, and then you can kill them underneath.
Exactly.
Phillip Rivers destroyed them last week. They took enough shots, get some fades. You get the crossing game. And on third down, they couldn't get off the field. They were 1.8 or 8, 8 for 8 or 9 for 9, the Chargers were. So you can win on third down against Baltimore. Don't get into a urinating contest when they start to get chippy and try to bully you a little bit. Take care of your business and go after their secondary, because their secondary is not just a weak link. If you put their secondary up against the Dolphins' secondary, that's like single-A summer league baseball against an all-star team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Attack them.
That's what I'm hoping, because that's one thing that I think will help out Miami. And plus, just you played the position. Once you have some success doing something, then the confidence grows. Look at Tannehill now in the intermediate game. He was throwing behind guys. He wasn't leading them. Now he's leading them. Now he's more on target within that intermediate game. Why? Because he's having more success. You're doing the stuff that's to his strength. I just want to see him take a couple shots, because if he hits on a couple, that might just be the turning point for him.
And it'll also give him some space to operate the other things he wants to do. You're exactly right. I believe in every game. I don't care who you play. I don't care if you're playing Seattle. I don't care if you're playing Patrick Peterson. Could care less. You got to take some shots. You have to. And that's incumbent upon a play caller to call it and run it. When we say what I mean by call it and run it, quarterbacks have a lot of leeway at the line of scrimmage in a lot of city. When you get to the line of scrimmage, you can check plays off. Our call it and run it's where no matter what the defense is, you run this. You give them a few call it and run it. You drop back, you run a 9 route and say, dude, when you get singled outside, cover 3 or single, hold that middle safety, man free, and throw the go route. Let's take a shot and throw the deep post. If look that safety down, we'll run something to occupy him, a backside corner to get his eyes there. You look in there and you take a shot down the middle of the field on a post. You take that shot. So you give him that, you take out the decision-making process, then you get him rolling. And now your crossing game, your underneath game, everything else becomes a lot easier for a quarterback to operate.
What do you think is what your thoughts on Washington? What do you think happens there? Is RG3 done there? And mentally, do you think this kid can come back from all these injuries? Because he kind of reminds me of Culpepper after the knee injury, that Culpepper was no longer the same guy anymore without that athleticism. Yep. Is RG3 the same thing?
Yeah, I don't think the confidence is just the injury, and I know what you're saying. I completely agree. When Culpepper went to Miami, and after he came back, he was limping when he dropped back in the pocket and lost what made Dante special. I'm not sure Robert Griffin III is tough enough mentally to overcome crowd noise, Twitter, people questioning him, coaches' decisions. There's a sense of coddling and entitlement that he's in. I bet there's been no – I go on D.C. with – Chad Dukes, and well, it was LeVar, but Chad Dukes now every Friday. I have for 4 years.
Okay.
And nobody supported Robert Griffin III more than me. I had rookie year and the rest, but I've watched him talk about regress. And he's so caught up in all you could say 4 million nice things about him. The one time somebody says on Twitter, you need to slide better, he'll respond and get after it. When's the last time you saw Rodgers respond to somebody negative on Twitter? When's the time last time you saw Rodgers go on Facebook or Brady go on Facebook and say, no, I'm a better slider than that? I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, the drama. I can't stand the drama, Sean, that's come with
the
kid.
It's too much. It's too much, and that's the problem. And there's talk that he doesn't prepare hard. There's talk that he doesn't prepare hard mentally, I'm talking about, and watch the tape necessary to become great. Now, all these things. I can tell you this, Colt McCoy gives him a far better chance to win. That offense moves far better with him. He has regressed, so I don't know, to be honest with you. If I could move him in Washington, I would. Get rid of all the nonsense about him now. You got to have the guts as a front office to say, and an owner to say, We gave up three number ones for him. What is he worth now, a third? Well, you sometimes you just got to admit, you know what? We missed. And that doesn't mean he can't go on and play great somewhere else, because he may. But I'm not worried about his physical skills, because he's talented. He needs to work harder on his mechanics. I'd love to train the kid, because there's a lot of things he can do better. But it's the thing you can't teach, how mentally. That's why I tell every quarterback I'm with, I want to know one thing first. How tough are you?
Right.
You grit your teeth and stand in the pocket and deliver the ball. And can you, when you're 5 out of 24, you're getting your ass handed to you, your own wife or girlfriend can't stand you, your kids won't talk to you, your own fans are booing you, your coach looks at you out of the side of his eye, your doggone teammates look at you like you're a lunatic, can you still stand and deliver and come back in the fourth quarter and win a game when you look putrid and everybody hates your guts? That's the difference between average to good and good to great. So I don't know. I mean, he's got rabbit ears. He's got rabbit ears. He hears everything and worries about everything. So when the kid gets rid of that and lets his natural ability, like as a rookie, he just played. And he got caught up in all the nonsense. Quit worrying about all that crap. If the guy in the fourth row, no offense to fans because I think they're smart, but if the guy in the fourth row knew about more about quarterbacking than RG3 did, then his ass would be playing. He needs to quit lending credence to some beat writer in Pittsburgh who thinks he can't play. It drives me nuts. So I don't know how mentally tough he is, but sometimes a change of scenery and venues is important. I don't think he's ever going to be a star again there, and I'm not sure he's ever going to be a starter again there in Washington, D.C. I'd do everything I could to move him.
That's the difference between him and a guy like Rodgers who just says, relax, and that's it.
Yeah, and looks at people like, really, dude? You're some writer from the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal, and you're going to tell me that are we panicked? Yes, really? I understand and respect your opinion. Well, until you get back here and stand in minus 15 degree weather with the football in your hand, getting your ass kicked, don't talk to me about how good we're going to be.
No doubt. Right? Former USC great, 10-year NFL quarterback, current host of the Prime Cut National Radio Show on Yahoo Radio, 4 to 8 p.m. He's also on ESPN Radio in Houston from 12 to 2. You can catch him there and follow him on Twitter at Sean Unfiltered. Sean, as always, my man, thank you for the time and the insight. You are the best, brother. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure, brother. I'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks.
You got it, man. Be good. There you go. Sean Salisbury. We'll talk to him on Monday. That's his normal time, by the way, just in case you're just running into the show for the first time. And this is one of the best segments on radio, man, to have Sean every single week. And it's normally noon on Mondays, okay, because he had some issues and personal issues, meetings and stuff. So we accommodate him because we always do. He's a friend of our program, and we love him for that. All right, great stuff there. When we come back on the other side, we're also going to talk to Qadree Ismail, the former Dolphin wide receiver, the former Ravens wide receiver, and he works for the Ravens broadcast.
And Super Bowl champion.
And Super Bowl champion, that's right. So he'll break it down for us. We'll talk a little Dolphins and Ravens next with him. And I got to tell you about Choice Mortgage Bank, because Michael Kotze and the boys are getting it done. And the ladies, right? The ladies and the gentlemen are getting it done, because he's got Matt, Kevin, Jennifer, Roger, Abner, Emmanuel. Great people working for him. That's why I call him the people's mortgage man, baby. Michael Kotze, that's who he is. And I got his cell phone number for you, 561-441-2730. You want to live that American dream? And I know some of you out there saying, oh, I got to tell you, man, I have bad credit, I got issues. Listen, he's got a staff, again, that are amazing. They can work with you, try to fix those credit issues, get you back on track so you can live the American dream. Call them right now for a free qualification and consultation. Call them later on in the afternoon. Call them in the evening. Call them on Saturday, on Sunday. Send them a text and tell them when you're available. He'll call you, 561-441-2730. That's why I'm giving you his personal cell number. So if you've got that mortgage company giving you the runaround, your bank's declined you, or listen to this. They specialize in wholesale, conventional, residential loans, condo loans, reverse mortgages, jumbo loans, FHA, VA loans. Hey, we can get you into a fixed mortgage rate under 3.5%. Take advantage. They're still at historic lows. Down payments as low as 3.5%. And if you're a military veteran, zero down. That's 100% financing. Call the same people that the Alzugari family called, and that's a personal friend of mine, Michael Kodzi. I know him well. Listen, you're going to love it. He's a local guy, loves his sports, fantasy player, all that good stuff, man. 561-441-2730, rates and terms, subject to change, daily without notice, equal housing lender, and MLS 166-254. It's Choice Mortgage Bank. All right, welcome back, folks. Yes, sir. We head into the final half hour of the show. Coop and Crowder take over at 1. I told you, I promised you, that Kadri Ismail would be joining us, the former Dolphin and Ravens wide receiver. A must-follow on Twitter at Kadri Ismail. Does a little work with Syracuse. Of course, he's the NFL analyst for Ravens Game Day 2. It's a beautiful thing, and a friend of the program. Kadri, how you doing, baby?
Big O, what's going on with you?
I am loving life, my man, as my Dolphins are, like, in a playoff hunt, which that doesn't happen much down here, Kadri. So we're happy, man, that they've got at least, as they say, a shot.
Well, that's what every team hopes for. Obviously, you are in a position that's good for you guys. The crazy thing about it, we're looking at the AFC North in a tightly contested battle, and unfortunately, your Dolphins are in the way of my Ravens. Something's got to give.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. You also wore the Aquan Barely Orange, because that's how I say it now, because we are Barely Orange. It's Aquan Orange. When you wore it, there was Aquan Orange. Now it's the Aquan Barely Orange. So, you know, isn't there a little part of you that has some sympathy for us?
I do, but the thing is, see, I got a fat ring on my finger from the Raven purple. So the Dolphin sometimes barely orange, you know, it really, you know, maybe it prepared me for what I needed to do to, you know, help the team hoist up a championship. So I'll give them a little love. It prepared me.
You know, when I previewed yesterday that you were going to be on, I always tell the story that the first day I walk up to you when you signed, and it was like a mistake that a lot of us made early on in your career. We called you Kadri. Remember that?
Oh, God. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so I said, Kadri, how you doing? My name's Orlando Alzugari. I'm a beat guy. Nice to meet you. And you the first thing you look at me and you said, it's Kadri.
we just had to get it right. I'm like, hey, call me Q. Call me Mr.
That's right.
Call
That's
me everything.
You did say that. You did say Q also. That's right. You did say that, man. So I always talk about that because it's always funny how we get, you know, hey, listen, with my last name, Alzugari, that's why I just said, look, just call me Big O, dude. That's it. You know, one guy gave me the name. It stuck, whatever. We'll go with that because my last name is just so hard to pronounce. But anyway, let's get back to this matchup. Haloti Ngata. That is a huge loss now. And I would have to say a break for the Dolphins on that one.
I think it is. You know, it's crazy. I'm sitting there and having some breakfast, and all of a sudden, you know, my Twitter feed blows up, and I'm seeing the news that he's suspended for, you know, PED use, and then a couple of tweets later, it talks about how the PED was Adderall, and it kind of flashed me back because obviously the Orioles, they were able to get into the postseason play, and their big bat, Chris Davis, he was suspended 25 games for his taking of Adderall. So, you know, it's like, oh, my God, here we go again, right at the time when you know, need all your big guns at the key moment of the season. You're losing out on a tremendous player like Haloti Ngata. And I don't know. I think it absolutely, you know, sways things over to, you know, your Dolphins for sure, because he's such a disruptive force. I think, you know, what he provides, not only as far as just rushing the passer, but, you know, at the same time, he does a great job of deflecting passes, and he's athletic enough to get interceptions. So I think, you know, anytime you have, you know, a Ryan Tannehill who, you know, part of his game is running the read option, I think you need to have guys like Haloti Ngata who can go sideline to sideline, and for DP, that helps him out as far as the coverages and stuff that he wants to put forth, because that's been the weakness of this Ravens defense. It's the coverage. So, man, without Haloti Ngata in there, I think there's going to be some tough adjustments that are going to need to be made.
Now, Ozzie Newsome, there's a reason why he is, if not the best, one of the three best GMs in football. I don't know, for argument's sake, If somebody doesn't want to put him one, fine, whatever. But he's easily one of the three best GMs in the business. And one of the guys he drafted this year in the second round was Timmy Jernigan, the kid out of Florida State, who's a pretty good football player. Now, having to replace Haloti Ngata is near impossible. So you tell me about Timmy Jernigan. What can he do at this level to kind of fill in for Haloti Ngata?
You know, the one thing for defense alignment, it's about a rotation. And so I think early in the year, he wasn't necessarily being productive in the rotation, but then all of a sudden he just flipped that switch, and you could see where he started seeing how the game was slowing down. He used his leverage tremendously to his advantage, and it was one of the reasons why teams just can't run the football on the Ravens, especially not up inside. And I think one thing that, you know, we've seen with, you know, Haloti Ngata in there, there's a feeding of, you know, motivation, if you will. Wow, he did this. Let me go out there and do it to my capabilities. And I think without that type of leadership, without that type of insight, it really is going to put a lot more pressure on young guys like Timmy Jernigan and, you know, Brandon Williams, two guys who I think really, really benefited from having Haloti Ngata out there. So, you know, next man up mentality is one thing, but when you got talent and you're losing out on that coveted, you know, rotation on the D-line, that makes life tough.
Ladarius Webb has not been himself since that injury. Am I right or wrong on this one?
No, you're absolutely right. He came into camp with somehow, some way, overcoming his knee injury, but then it flared up in his back. He was out for a good portion of training camp into the regular season. He finally got back out there, and you know, he just hasn't seen the Lardarius Webb, the guy who can, you know, break on a ball, read a route. It just seems as though, you know, he's playing, but he's not playing that upper level football that we've been accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously people down here don't follow Ravens football, but I'm kind of a football nut. A couple of years ago, this kid was an up-and-coming star, man. And the explosion that you can see, how the closing speed that this guy had on the football was so impressive. And then once he suffers the knee injury, it's like, okay, well, a lot of guys are able to come back from it, and it just seems like he's had some issues trying to come back from it, and he clearly isn't the guy that they drafted and they saw the first couple of years.
Yeah, big time. I think, you know, again, anytime you have an injury, what happens is your body starts to compensate. And so other areas, you know, begin to do the job of what that area should have done. And I think coming into this camp, I think that's where, you know, whatever his training regimen was, you know, I think it hurt him as far as his back is concerned. And it set him back. And, you know, again, as a defensive back, the biggest thing that you need to do is to have the ability to flip your hips and be able to read and react. I mean, you got to be able to do that, whether it be zone or man. And I think, you know, part of his struggles have been, you know, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers game, you know, the one wide receiver literally just runs a nine route, a go, just boom, straight down the field. And you can just see where Lardarius, you know, had, you know, difficulty not only flipping his hips and, you know, running with him and covering him, but the acceleration and the closing of the cushion he couldn't do, and it was an easy touchdown for him. So, I think, you know, he's had his struggles, and I think the defensive backs as a whole, without Jimmy Smith, who's out for the year with a foot injury and had to have surgery and get put on IR, you know, I think it really set the secondary back, and now they, as a group, have had their struggles.
Now, and we're talking, of course, with Qadri Ismail, by the way, former Miami Dolphin, former world champion Baltimore Raven, and, of course, he's on the Ravens broadcast team. And Qadri, one of the things that I look at, and I saw it last week with the Jets, you're playing a very poor secondary, because if there's something that's a weakness for Baltimore, it's their secondary. But Miami has a quarterback that plays inside a 20-yard box. I don't know how much you watched of the Jets-Dolphins game, and, you know, people are praising Ryan and his play over the last 6-7 weeks and his completion percentage, and I'm not buying any of that because he's doing it all within a 20-yard box. They don't throw deep at all. They rarely ever take a deep shot. And last week was the perfect team to take a deep shot at with that secondary. This week it's the same thing. I don't know what you see on film. He has done very well in that intermediate game. if they play that way with that intermediate game against the Ravens, can they win? And if you're the Dolphins and you're the offensive coordinator, how important is it to take some chances against the Ravens downfield?
Yeah, here's the thing. If you look at, you know, film and you self-scout yourself, you say, okay, what gives us the best chance of winning? And obviously they're feeling that, you know, we've tried throwing it down a football field with not much success. What is the skill set of our you know, skill guys on the outside, and what's the skill set of our quarterback? And I think what we're seeing is that, you know, he does well as far as the threat of a run. He does well as far as sucking up a linebacker. You know, you could see clearly, you know, say take the Chicago game where, you know, now you got the linebacker sucking up, and that intermediate game comes into play, and now he's hitting, you know, guys across the middle, whether it be, you know, Landry or even Wallace. You know, I think that's where you're going to see, you know, him thrive. And so the more confidence he gets as the game plan is being put together, I know this to be true. If I'm the play caller, I'm like, all right, what don't you like? Well, I got to go with, you know, weeding out the things that he doesn't want. And if it is deep ball, then so be it. And if he looks at the Chargers game, which I know they are, they're going to be like, well, shoot, why bother with throwing it deep when the Ravens struggle as far as the run after catch.
Okay.
And so it's now going to be a situation where the Ravens are playing off. They're a little bit, you know, skittish, if you will, as far as, you know, their coverages and their techniques. And so, you know, I'd be like, all right, well, here it is. It's right before us. They haven't gotten any better. They're playing to our strengths. Why fix something? The playoff hunt. Let's do what we do best.
Okay.
And worry about all the other stuff in the offseason.
Okay, so you think actually the way the Dolphins are playing right now could be successful against the Ravens on Sunday. Okay.
It's on film, and until, you know, proven otherwise, you know, the Ravens have struggled with that intermediate passing, and it's that strong run after catch that has hurt them, and, you know, it has given teams, whether it be the Titans, whether it be the Chargers, you know, you had some success against Drew Brees, but again, he put up some big numbers too. And again, a lot of it had to do with that intermediate passing game, that ability to, you know, throw a hitch and, make a guy miss. And now all of a sudden it turns into a 14, 15 yard game. You know, as opposed to winning on first down, you know, now it's second down and long, and now it's second and short because, you know, you didn't do your job and tackle the guy. And, you know, those are the things and the issues that the Ravens are dealing with. And if I'm a Dolphin player or if I'm a Dolphin coach, I'm like, look, let's stick to what got us here. And I think that's one of the challenges that they're going to try to do as far as, you know, holding off on just arbitrarily taking shots down a football field.
Wow, you're making me feel better about the Dolphins this week. I like it. So that means I know your heart's with Baltimore, but your prediction is Miami wins.
I see how you did that. Listen, we got a kicker called Justin Tucker. And that dude has been outstanding. He ain't the Jets kicker. We got a running back in Justin Forsett, who that dude is phenomenal. And the offensive line is feeling really confident about himself. I don't see a 210-yard performance in the first half and then only 67 in the second half, a la the Jets. I think we got Joe Flacco, who is far superior than any Jets quarterback can ever imagine to be right now currently on the roster, Geno Smith. And I think we got some receivers that are itching to go out and make some plays far better than what Eric Decker and the receiving corps of the Jets can do as well. So I'm feeling pretty good about the matchups. It's just at the same time, yeah, the Dolphins, they should be feeling pretty confident. Let's see who blinks first.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter. Qadri Ismail does excellent work. And, of course, he also works for the Ravens Network and a little Syracuse action too. Qadri is always my man. Thank you for joining us, my friend. And, of course, I wish you the best, as always, in anything that you do.
Absolutely, Big O. Appreciate you having me on, as always.
You got it, man. There you go. The great Qadri Ismail. Love him, man. Great dude. Classy dude. By the way, QAM is proud to present the third annual Channing Crowder Holiday Toy Drive to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Broward County. Join the entire QAM on crew on Tuesday the 16th. We'll be broadcasting live from the NFL Yet Lester H.Y. Boys and Girls Club in Fort Lauderdale, and we're looking for new unwrapped toys to donate to the kids at the Boys and Girls Club this holiday season. For more details on the third annual Channing Crowder Holiday Toy Drive, visit our events page at WQAM.com. All right, let's tell you about Shelly Bloom's Fashion Clothiers, baby. We love Shelly Bloom's Fashion Clothiers. They've been around for 51 years. I've been shopping there personally for 15. You go to my closet, I've got dress shirts, slacks, suits, shoes, ties, hankies, all kinds of stuff from Shelly Bloom's Fashion Clothiers over the years, because when I want to go to a wedding, or if I got to go to a party or something really nice, I want to look my best. I want to go where I'm going to save myself a lot of money and look great in the process. And that's what Shelly Bloom's has done for 51 years now. Go see my man Tony Peach. He is outstanding and mix and matching and making you look great. And they've got the magic of the 333 going. Remember Moses Malone with the fo-fo-fo? We got the 333 going, man. The 18 pieces of men's clothing for just $349. That's right, I said $349. You get the real deal. Three suits, three dress shirts, three ties, three matching hankies, three socks, three suit bags. Man, I'm telling you, and sizes from 34 to 68, nobody will do it better, and that's all for $349. They've got some of Italy's finest suits that retail for $1,500 to $2,000. Shelly Bloom's Fashion Clothiers has it at $499. You don't believe me? Get on down there to the heart of Wynwood, 2650 Northwest 5th Avenue, 305-573-5890. Tell them that Big O sent you. Call them, 305-573-5890. $58.90. And by the way, if you're looking for a young boy suit, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, size 18, man, they've got it. $69. You get the jacket, the vest, the dress shirt, a tie, a matching hanky, and don't forget the suit pants, all for $69 in 10 different colors. You want to save money, you want to look great, you go to Shelly Bloom's Fashion Clothiers. Don't forget, QAM and Tiger Direct want to hook you up this holiday season. Keep listening to the Yoros Show this week for your chance to win. Enter and win a brand new LG LED HD TV from Tiger Direct. Joe and Curtis will be registering listeners all week long, so make sure you're tuned in. It's the Big Screen Holiday Giveaway from QAM and Tiger Direct, your connection to awesome technology. Good luck and happy holidays from everyone here at WQAM. All right, it is time to play Panther Pick 6. By the way, we need one more player for Panther Pick 6, okay? Line 1, I can't see the name, guys, just in case. Andy called in, and he picked Trocheck already. He had to hang up, but we took it already as Andy called in. All right, let me go first to, okay, let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what's happening, my friend?
How are you today?
Very good. Who's going to score for you tonight, my friend?
Brad Boys.
Brad Boys, Brad Boys. Oh, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it, brother. Good
Thank
luck.
You.
You got it. All right, there we go. Jerry is next. Jerry, who is scoring for you tonight, my man?
I see a Nick Bjugstad goal.
All right. You can't go a show without somebody picking a Bjugstad goal. There you go. All right, Jerry, good luck to you, my friend. Enjoy the game.
Thank you.
You got it? Let's see. Peter is next. Peter, what's up, buddy?
How you doing? There we go.
I'm going to go.
Good, thank you. I'm going to go with Huberto again.
Ah, Huberto.
First time I stop picking him, it's going to be like fantasy football. He's going to score, so now I have to go with him every week.
Isn't that typical? Hubie doobie doo. All right, Peter, we put you there. Appreciate it. Thank you, my man. Next up, it's the lovely and talented Karen. Karen, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Big O. How are you?
Very good. Love and life, as always. Karen, who's going to score for you tonight?
Sean Bergenheim.
Ah, Bergenheim. All right, we're going to put him down. We wish you the best, Karen.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Let's see. Next up, Brian is our sixth guy. Okay, Brian, you are on. You are the sixth person in our Panther Pick 6. Brian, who is scoring for you tonight?
For me, I'm going with Kopeski, man.
Okay.
I have faith. I love the dude, and I love the show, Big O.
You got it, my man. Thank you. Go with Thomas Kopeski. Thank you. All right, we're going to put you on hold. We got you on hold there. That's a beautiful thing. All right. We got a last couple minutes here. If you guys want to get in and talk a little sports at 567-0560, 305 or 954 in front of it, pound 560. And I got to tell you, the way that Kadri kind of described that secondary and that defense, he kind of thinks that Miami's short passing game will have success against them. How about that?
So the man in the box is going to find success this week?
Maybe. I guess so. I mean, he's had success this year playing the man in the box. I just think it's going to be limited success when it's all said and done. That, yeah, you'll have some success like Alex Smith can, but you can only go so far playing like that.
Well, we also thought that Tannehill was going to have some success last week against the Jets, and that wasn't necessarily the case.
It was very mediocre against the Jets last week, and they're bad in that secondary, man. Joey, what's up, dude?
Hey, man, let me ask you a question. You got a couple best friends that you always trust?
Of course I do.
Besides your wife.
Yes.
You know the ones that trust, right?
Yes, yes.
I keep hearing about Al Golden and D'Onofrio's best friendship, and they're great friends. You know something? If I'm D'Onofrio, because I've had been friends, I'm going to get out of the relationship. Give me a package. Let me go. Let me move on. Take the pressure off the head coach and move on. Maybe I'm thinking too much out of the box, but that's how I look at it if I'm a best friend.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. You got it, my man. Thank you. Michael's in the Pines. Michael, what's up?
What's up, Big O?
Yo, yo, yo.
I'm excited.
Are you going to the game?
Taking my 4-year-old to the game. He's going to be 5 years old soon.
So nice.
He loves the Dolphins, brother.
Good for you. Awesome.
Hey, you know what? Win or lose, all you fathers and moms, when you bring your kids to the game, it is a fantastic experience.
No doubt.
And worth every single penny of my season ticket, every single one, win or lose.
No, I mean, when you get to go with your kid, man, listen, I got to enjoy going with my dad to some baseball games at the Miami Baseball Stadium, and obviously we went to a ton of Dolphin games, and those are memories that last forever, man, being able to hang out with the old man. So there's nothing like that. I envy you, my friend. I envy you.
It's a fantastic thing, and God bless you. You raised a beautiful girl.
Thank you.
Me and you are the brothers from another mother. We're both the same age. We both love metal and rock and roll and all the music. We both love sports. And I pray every day that I can take my son to a baseball game where he can learn the players, and we know that Ben and these other guys will be here because I love baseball too.
I know.
And I'm dying to bring my son at some point to the game.
Gotcha, my man.
Before I go, Big O, I just wanted to ask you your thoughts on the game, and I just want to say I hope the coaches let it all out because we got nothing to lose, man, on Sunday.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call as always, my man. It's going to be a tough contest. Tomorrow I'll give my predictions and we'll talk about what I think is going to happen, but it's going to be really, really tough for the Dolphins. But I really like what Kadri had to say, that maybe Miami's game plan right now, the way it's currently structured, they got a shot. So I like that. All right, and I'm sorry if you're holding because I will not have time to get to you. Finhead, you got 20 seconds. Give me some love quickly.
Big O, I'm going to tell you, I think good karma's coming our way with this note injury, and my prediction is this is the week we're going deep.
I like it.
Mark my words, baby.
I like it.
Go Fins. All right, Big O.
You got it.
Power to the Fins, buddy.
You got it. Save that soundbite right there, going deep. Freddie, 20 seconds. And he lost four of them. Thank you, Freddie, for the phone call. All right, here we go. Caller number 5 to the QAM contest line right now wins a pair of tickets to Dolphins Ravens. 1-800-227-0560. 1-800-227-0560. Caller number 5 right now to the QAM contest line, Dolphins Ravens. We thank, Kadri Ishmael, Ira Winderman, Matt Porter, Sean Salisbury, Chad, the super intern, always getting it done. The best producers in the business. I'd be lost without them. Brandon Rodriguez and the lovely and talented Caroline Granado. Thank you for always tuning in. I love you guys for supporting the show, the sponsors, all of that. You guys are the best. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, same bat channel. Stay tuned. Coop and Crowder next.